But Luke chapter 7, and I told you this morning when I prayed that I would give you the reason I believe that the whole world doesn't have the gospel or doesn't know who God is. And obviously the easy answer to that is disobedience, but there's just something that's been on my heart recently that I was thinking about that I think is from the Bible, and I hope it'll challenge you tonight. But Luke chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 11. This is speaking of Jesus. The Bible says, "It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak, and delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we have here tonight. God, thank you for this church and the loving people in it, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to be in the ministry and go out and represent you and represent this church, represent our pastor. I pray that you would just bless our family, that you would help us as we travel, help us to do right. Lord, just help us to make an impact for you upon this world. And I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, this is something that you've really spoken to me about, and I pray that you would speak to someone, just anyone here tonight. If there's someone here that's not saved, help them to be saved as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. But I want to say, first of all, he mentioned the young man that got saved this morning. That's 2 weeks in a row that a bus kid has got saved, and they were brothers. I think one was 11 years old and one was 7 years old. But I don't know. I told some of you the story, but I'll just tell you a long story to make it short. But these were kids that never really used to come. And then we started running the bus and I would visit them. Well, I won't go into details, but one visit when I was at their house, they have four kids there. Zacchaeus, the one that got saved last week. Let's just say by the time Miss Sonia and I left, there was rocks flying at our car, and I heard about 40 cuss words. And, you know, but we kept visiting them, and pretty much since that time, starting about 2 weeks after that, all four of those siblings from that house started coming every single week. And then last week, the one that was having the problems got saved, and he's been doing so much better. They're up every Sunday, they're ready for church, their parents are excited about it. And then one of the main reasons the younger one got saved today was because of the influence the older one had on him throughout the week. Because he probably asked him questions, hey, you know, you got saved, what is that? And then he came to us this morning and said, hey, I want to get saved. So, and just like you said, that's 2 weeks in a row, we've had 15 or more on the bus route. And when we started at April 1st, we had, I think, 2. So it's really gotten a lot better, and we have a lot of faithful riders, and people are getting saved off of it. So I want to encourage you guys, if you can, get involved, if you want to give to it, feel free to do that. I know Brother Thad wouldn't ask for it, but I did it for a while, and he's been doing it recently. But we buy donuts for them pretty much every Sunday, and juice, and they go visit them on Saturday and spend the gas to drive around. And so they invest a lot in them. So if anybody did want to help out, you know, you can feel free to do that for Brother Thad. And anybody that wants to ride, visit, do activities with them, feel free to get involved, because it really is a great ministry that's going to make a big difference. You never know if one of those two are going to be the next preacher. You never know, you know, what they're going to become, a missionary, you know, faithful members of the church. So feel free, keep praying for the bus route, and feel free to help out whenever you can. But back to our text here in Luke chapter 7. We read verse 11 through 17. Jesus raises the widow's son. And I want to get our text out of verse number 16. And I read this, and I read this weeks ago, and I knew this was what God wanted me to preach. He's really put it on my heart. He's challenged my heart about it, because it's something that I've done as well, that God worked with me. God worked on me about it. But in verse number 16, he's just raised the young man, and there came a fear on all the people that were there watching. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us. But I want to get our text from this last phrase. The Bible says that God hath visited his people. And that's what I want to preach it on, is a visit from God. And before I really get into it, we put up our table back there and our new prayer cards. If you haven't gone back there, please get a prayer card, put it up on your fridge, put it in your car somewhere where you'll see our two of the pretty faces a lot, and you can remember to pray for us. But go back there, get that stuff. We still have a few things to add to it, but that's all we have put together so far. But keep praying for us there. We're excited. We have quite a few meetings scheduled. We leave Saturday morning. It's going to be about a 30-hour drive, so we'll split it up into a couple days. So please pray for us. And then don't worry, we'll be back bugging you guys quite a few times over the next year and a half. So Halloween and a few other times. But look back at verse number 16, that God has visited his people. And one of our main verses that we've taken as we're going to start traveling and we're going to go to Ecuador is Luke 1:17. And the end of it says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Talking about John the Baptist, how he went ahead of Jesus to prepare the people. And that's kind of what we feel like we're called to do, that we're supposed to be doing as Christians and also as missionaries, is to go tell these people about Christ so when they die and stand at that judgment, they're ready, they're prepared to meet the Lord. And so this kind of goes along with it, is a visit from God. You know, when you think of a visit, there's a lot of things that can go under this realm of a visit. It can be good things, it can be bad things. You know, Jake's girlfriend, hopefully soon to be fiance, is coming for a visit. She'll be here later tonight. She'll be here for, I think, a week. So that's a good visit. You know, when I got engaged to Sonia, it was a fun visit. It was a good visit out to California. You know, there's also bad visits. In my time, I know in some of your times, I'm sure you've had a few visits to the principal's office. Some people may have even had visits from police. You know, you have a visit to the doctor. That can be good or bad. There's visits can go good and go bad. It can be, you know, positive. It can be negative. But that's what I want to talk about, is a visit from God. You know, when God visits, things happen. You know, when He visited me when I was 12 years old and I got saved, you know, things happen. When God visits, you know, people are helped. They're helped physically. They're helped spiritually. When God visits, miracles happen. You think of Him parting the Red Sea. You know, in this story, He raises a widow's son. When God visits, people remember. Look at verse number 17. The rumor of Him went forth. When God visits, people are going to talk about it. If God has visited your life, then you're going to talk about it. Then you're going to remember it. You know, if God visits your life, then you have a home in heaven. If God visits you, then you become a new creature. If God visits you, just as the story of Hannah in the Bible, you have a strong desire to serve Him and do whatever it is that He'll have you to do. When God visits, amazing things happen. You know, what are some stories in the Bible when God visited? You know, God visited the woman at the well when He came to her and He forgave her sin. And what happened? She went and she told others about it. She had her sins forgiven and she spread His name throughout. Because God visited. You know, God visited Lazarus when 4 days after he had died. And what happened there? When God visited, He raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, Mary and Martha, I'm sure their hearts were blessed. They were happy that their brother was raised. You know, God visited Adam and Eve. You know, just like I said, visiting can be good, visiting can be bad. Adam and Eve ate that fruit and they're in the garden and God comes and visits. And they do what? They hide. Because they were ashamed. When God visits, it'll challenge you. It'll convict you. It'll help you. You know, Luke 1:68 says, blessed be God, for He has visited and redeemed His people. You know, God will visit you with salvation. He'll make you a new creature. You know, us that sit in this room tonight, I should be thankful that at one point God came and He visited me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not the kind of person that thinks that it's not our responsibility to go out. I believe in the Great Commission. I don't believe we sit at home and God is just going to choose. I'm going to visit you, you, and you. I believe that we have the opportunity and we have to choose. So I don't want you to get me wrong with this message, but when it comes to world evangelism, when it comes to missions, when it comes to what Sonia and I and our family are going to be doing, what other missionaries that come that you guys hear what they're going to be doing, what is it all about? It's about spreading Christ's name, getting the Word of God out, the Great Commission, that all may hear of the Word of God, that all may have the opportunity to get saved. And you sitting in this room, I can tell you, you've had the opportunity to be saved. If not, well, I can take care of that real quick. God died for you. He died for your sins. If you ask Him to come into your heart, then you're saved. Now, every one of you are accountable. If you accept Him, you go to heaven. If you deny Him, you go to hell. We've had that opportunity. God has visited us at different times in different ways. You know, everyone here has a different story. But be thankful that God has visited us. But now, this is the point that the world needs a visit from God. But how does that happen? There's a lot of places on the earth that don't even know who God is. How can they have a visit from God if they don't even know who He is? Now, I do believe that God puts something in every single person, that they know something's there, that something is out there. But just as the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? You know, how can they know who's going to tell them? And that's our responsibility. That's my responsibility to the people of Ecuador. But that's also your responsibility to the people here in Jeff City. But it's also your responsibility to the people of the world. Now, as I read this verse and I was just thinking, you know, a visit from God, a visit from God, a visit from God. When God visits, things happen. Things happen in my life when He visits. When He visits me, you know, when I read God's Word, I'm challenged. And it's the same thing. When God visits your life, there should be a result. So I got to thinking of some ways that I can, these are things that God touched my heart about, but they apply to you as well. Whether or not you're a preacher, whether or not you're 60, whether or not you're 10, these things apply to you. That the way God is going to visit the entire world is that there's some things that we can do to make that happen. And I just put together a few things. I'll go through them quickly. And then at the end, I want to make my main point, which God really, He just kind of stuck a dagger in my heart about it, that I think if you'll catch it as well, then we can solve the problem of the whole world not knowing who Christ is. Because at one point, the whole world was evangelized. So something's happened since that point. And it's disobedience. It's our fault because God gave us that command. We've had the opportunity to visit the Lord. So now we have some responsibilities. The first thing is that the way God will visit the whole world, one of the ways is to get a visit from you. Now, you know, obviously we have the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and teach and preach and baptize. You know, the Bible makes it clear that it's our responsibility to be a light, to be, you know, shine in the community, to follow His lamp so that people can see His light around us as we go through life. But He needs a visit. People need a visit from you. And I do understand that everybody in this room obviously cannot, you know, physically go, but some of you can. Some of you could scratch a week's vacation, one of your 3 or 4 or 5 weeks of vacation a year, and you could go help a missionary. I promise you this, that if you got a list of 100 missionaries and called every single one of them and said, hey, I wanted to bring my family to help you for a week, I bet you not one of them would tell you, we don't need your help or we don't want your help. So one way that the world can get visited by God is to be visited by you. You know, when you go, what's going to happen? They're going to say, man, this person came thousands of miles, left their home, left their comforts, spent money and came. Why? The same reason the bus kids see you, they see you invest in their lives. The same reason that you can make an impact on somebody is because it shows them that they care. I also bet you that most missionaries, if you called them and asked them and said, hey, I have $1,000 I can send to you, or I can buy my ticket to come down for a week, almost every single one of them would say, I'd rather you come for a week, because the people will get blessed more, more people may get saved, and they'll get rejuvenated. So I want to challenge you, if you have the opportunity, just like I told the teenagers this morning, if you ever have an opportunity to go on a missions trip, go. It will change your life. When I was 14, I had the opportunity to go to Mexico, and there's still many things there that I'll never forget. You know, some funny things, some sad things. I've told you some stories before about walking into what I thought was a store, and it's a person's house with a dirt floor, kids with no shoes, and, you know, pretty skinny coming up to me and asking me for pesos so they could, you know, take it back to their family. You see things. You know, I had the opportunity to teach a kind of a Bible club there with a ton of kids. They're excited about things of the Lord. And when you go, if you go, if you have the opportunity to go and you do go and you get back to America, it will change the way. It'll change your perspective. It'll change the way you think about things. It'll change the way you think about the gospel. So the first thing is, I understand everybody can't go, but a lot of you can go that I bet have not gone. Go on a missions trip if you have the opportunity. It will change your life, but also if you have children, it'll make a huge impact on your children. And if you get them at a young age, as they grow up, they can have that right perspective. So the world needs a visit from God, and they can get that by a visit from you. And the second thing is to a visit from your voice, you know, or your thoughts from your prayers. One of the most important things for missionaries as they travel for safety is your prayers. You know, the Bible talks a lot about prayer. We're commanded to pray always. We're commanded to pray without ceasing. Matthew 21 says, you know, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. The Bible also says, ye have not because ye ask not. We serve an all-powerful God who wants to hear our prayers. Do you think He needs us to pray to do what He wants to do? No, but He commands us to pray. So it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility to pray. Do you realize that if you'll pray, if you'll visit with your voice, you know, if you'll visit with God, if you'll use your voice and pray, you know, you may not think that you're doing a lot at the moment, but look, you know, the people that were here last week and then other missionaries that we've had, if you actually took their prayer cards, if you took their prayer cards and you prayed for them, even if it was once a day for 30 seconds, do you realize, you don't know what's going on in their life, do you realize that they may be on the field facing a dangerous situation, getting robbed? You know, those are all the physical things. They may be hungry. They may not be able to feed the children at their orphanage. They may be not. They may not have the money to meet the needs of the ministry. But because of your prayer, thousands of miles away, God looks down and says, hey, you know, I'm going to honor that prayer. And you don't know it. They don't know it that you're praying for them. But you can have a huge impact by praying for missionaries. And those were just the physical things. Do you also realize that even if you started praying for our family right now, and you prayed for us every day until we got to Ecuador, that when we get there, I honestly believe that there's going to be souls and hearts and people that are already prepared to receive the gospel. There's going to be places that are already ready for us to plant churches. because of the preparation that God's people, that I have made with praying to God. You can make a huge impact with your voice. So how can God visit the people in Ecuador, visit the people of the world, visit the deaf that have never heard about Him? He can do it by you going, and He can do it by your voice, by you praying for them. And then the last thing I can think of, and then I'll get to my main point and we'll close, is visit if you can in person. Visit with your prayers, but also they need a visit from your money. You know, God needs to visit these people. And, it's kind of silly, but the Bible makes it clear that we're commanded to be giving people. You know, we're commanded to give. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. God has really blessed us in this room. I know that because I've been in other countries. I've seen what they have. We are all blessed people in this country. And if you'll make a visit with your money, with your pocketbook, with the things that God has blessed you with, then you can make a huge difference with God visiting the people of the world. You know, have you thought about this yet? You know, it's fun. Hey, I've been calling a lot of pastors, and a lot of them have said, hey, we have a missionary come by once a month. We have a missionary come by once every 2 months. Do you realize how many missionaries there are calling? If you'll ask Preacher right now or Brother Nick, they said they get tons of calls every single week. Probably not a day goes by where pastors don't get calls from missionaries, which is a great problem to have. But when I was thinking about this, it made me think that we don't have our priorities right with our money. Because can you imagine if you and I got our priorities right with our money and cut the cable bill for a few months or didn't eat out, you know, once or twice a month, and we supported every single missionary that was out there? There's probably hundreds, possibly even thousands or more missionaries that are traveling, and they're traveling anywhere from 2 to 5, even more years, trying to raise money so they can go spread the gospel. So if our priorities were right with our money and we cared about the gospel being spread, would we spend more money on missions and all these missionaries can be supported? You know, and I think that is a big problem, because would we be able to, just as they did in Acts, to turn the world upside down? How do we do that? Me and you aren't going to turn the world upside down right here in Jeff City. You know, we may turn Jeff City upside down. We may turn Columbia and the surrounding cities upside down for Christ. But if we don't give so the missionaries that are called can go, how are you guys going to have a part in turning the world upside down? How are you guys, how am I going to have a part in allowing God to visit these people if we don't give? So these are three ways that God spoke to my heart about that we can all be involved in to actually go and visit, to visit with our prayers, to visit with our money. And if we do that, then God, you know, people can be enabled to bring God to the people that don't have Him, so they can all have the opportunity to visit with God. Amen. Now, you know, that those three things were something that, you know, God kind of showed me after He gave me the main thought. But I'm going to make my main point here and close. And these are two things that I've thought about probably every day for weeks. You know, I told you guys, I think it was last time I preached, about a book I was reading about a young woman who just up and went to Africa, adopted 13 children, big problem with orphans over there. And she stated this in her book. And when I read it, I just kind of stopped for a second. And, you know, I'd never thought of this before. But, you know, there's thousands of people. There's many countries that don't have the gospel. There's many people that have never heard of the gospel. There's thousands and hundreds of thousands of young children dying from being hungry. Thousands of orphans, people that are sick. You know, in Africa, you have AIDS problems. You have all these problems. Poverty. You know, what does a $5 bill matter? What does a $1 bill matter? What does a 30-second prayer matter? With everything that is going on, does that little bit that you do matter? And this is what she said, you know, when it comes to Jesus, it did matter to Him. And she gave a couple examples, and this is when it really opened my eyes that, hey, every little thing that you and I do really does matter for the cause of Christ. Even if it, because I've heard people say, you know, well, why do that if it's not going to fix the problem? Why go there if it's, you know, in a week it's just going to be the same thing? Why give $5 if next week they're going to need $5 more? Well, that was not the attitude of Jesus Christ. Because one of the examples she gave was, hey, Lazarus, have you ever thought about this? Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Right? Mary, Martha, they're sad, they're crying, you know, hey, Jesus, why didn't you show up on time? Jesus comes, raises Lazarus from the dead. You know, awesome story. I've heard many sermons preached about it. Awesome thought. Hey, thank God He's powerful enough to raise somebody from the dead. But did you ever think that, hey, I don't know how old Lazarus was. 20 years later? 50 years later? Did you know that Lazarus died again? Yeah. Jesus raised him from the dead once, but he died again. How about the, you know, the 4,000 or 5,000 that Jesus fed? Do you not think that half of them or even more next week or on their way home said, man, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. Yeah. Jesus took care of their immediate needs, But he didn't fix the full-time problem. So that really challenged me. That's one thing I wanted to challenge you with, was that, yeah, it does matter the little bit that you do. Even if it helps for one day, it matters. Even if you give a dollar, a quarter, a dime, pray for 5 seconds a day, it does matter. It may not fix the full problem, but it may enable that one person to get saved. It may feed that one starving person that day. It may help that one person that one day. And if you'll have that attitude, that's the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. And I never thought about that before, that, yeah, Lazarus died again. The people that were fed were hungry again. The, you know, people that were raised from the dead, the people that were healed that had problems, the people that were deaf that were healed, they all died one day. You know, it was only temporary. So Jesus met their temporary needs, but the physical or the spiritual needs that he met, those were eternal. So that's the first thing, that if you'll take anything away from tonight, just remember that, yes, it does matter, whatever you do. The second thing is, and this is the one that immediately when I read Luke chapter 7 in these verses, this just hit me, and I never thought of this before either. But, you know, it's fun to have a visitor. I talked a little bit at the beginning about, you know, it's fun to have visitors. I've been to many of your houses. You've had me as a visitor. And I can tell you what, every single time I come, you know, I walk in and there, you know, someone's usually there to greet me. There's always food prepared or snacks prepared, or, you know, someone brings candy bars or sodas, or people are really excited, you know, that you're there. When you host somebody, you know, hosting is big these days. Hey, does it have a patio? Does it, will I have a barbecue grill? Will I have an area to host to entertain? And every time that you have a visitor, what do you try to do? You try to treat them with respect. You know, if somebody high up came, if the preacher's coming over, hey, hide the movies that you don't want them to see. Hey, put, you know, put things away. You know, make sure everything looks good. When you have a visitor, it's a big deal. Well, I got to thinking, why is it that God has not visited the entire world? Why is there places in the Middle East that have never heard of God? Why is there deaf in Ecuador that I even saw with my own eyes that don't even know they have a name and don't know who God is? No, why is there still tribes that, you know, don't have anything? And the reason is because us who God has visited, we've mistreated our visitor. We said, God, come into my house, save me, thank you for my ticket in heaven. Hey, have a seat right here in the living room. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And then we leave him there. There's no snacks prepared. We don't offer him water. We don't offer him tea. And, you know, I'm using an example here. And then we say, all right, see you later, God. We go into the other room, we go read a book, we go do our homework, we go watch a movie, we go play basketball, we go watch a sport, we go watch a football game, while the entire time God is sitting right here who is our visitor, and we've mistreated our visitor. Which you would never mistreat a visitor from the church. You'd say, hey, come in, I've prepared this for you, I've done this for you. But what we've done as Christians is we say, hey, God, come into my heart, save me from hell, take me to heaven, thank you, come into my house, here, stay right here. All right, I'll see you later. Then we go in the other room. We don't come back and we don't fellowship with him. We don't grow as a Christian. We don't tell others about God. And when you mistreat your visitor, you don't obey the call to go. Do you not think that if God gave us the Great Commission, if he said, go ye into all the world and teach and preach, do you not think that he would call enough people to get that job done? The problem is they've gotten saved. They've said, come into my house, God. And then they've left. And they've left him there. You know, have you ever been to someone's house that invited you over and it was kind of awkward? You know, there was really nothing to do. They weren't good hosts. They said, hey, come over, sit down. And then, you know, there's not good conversation, or they leave you there for long periods of time. That's not the way most of us would treat a visitor. And that's not the way that I would want to be treated. That's not the way that my wife would even let me treat a visitor. But think about it. That has God visited you? Have you ever been saved? Have you had a Bible in your lap? Have you had the opportunity to hear the Word of God? God has visited you because he was there. You said, oh, Lord, come in. That's what I did when I was 12. I said, come into my heart. Save me. I invited God in. God is in my house. And now it's up to you what you're going to do with him. Are you going to go when he calls you? Are you going to pray daily for the ones that he has called to go? And are you going to give to the ones that are trying to go? Are you going to give so the gospel can be spread? Because God, if you're saved, God is a visitor in your house. Are you going to fellowship with him? Are you going to grow with him? Are you going to talk with him? Are you going to be there with him? Are you going to say, hey, God, thanks for coming. I'm so excited you're here. And grow. And I don't mean this literally, obviously, but you can do that by reading God's word. And especially by doing these three things. So why has God not visited the whole world? And I honestly believe it's because we've mistreated our visitor. And that's something that God really smote my heart about. That, hey, God's a visitor. He came to me. He was good enough to come to me. Now I need to treat them right. So yes, as we go out, that's our goal, is to spread the gospel. But as other missionaries come in, decide that you're going to pray for them. Decide that you're going to give to them. Because there's so many missionaries out there. Even one of the missionaries we had in our missions conference in March has been traveling from anywhere, I think it was 3 to 5 years. And you imagine how many souls would have been saved if half of us would have not eaten out once a month and gave that money. And I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Just like I said, everything in this message, God smote my heart about. But we need to treat God right. He's done us right. He's treated us right. He saved our soul from hell. And there's a world. He gave us the command. He gave us the means to do it. He's called the people to do it. Whether or not they choose to go, that's on them. And He's given us the money. He's given us the means. He's given us the transportation. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us printing ability for the Bibles. So decide tonight that no matter how small, you're going to give because it makes a difference. And you're going to pray because it makes a difference. And that you'll go if you have the opportunity. And that you'll treat your visitor right. Pastor.
Before time began, you were on your throne, you are God alone.